Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 180 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of, not December 8th, 2017. What week is this? What's Friday?
15th.
For the week of December 15th. 2017. I am Chris Randazzo, and joining me, as always, is Norman Reedus' throat baby, Dan Ryan.
I know I say this every week, but I think that's my new favorite one. Fucking Norman Reedus' throat baby. That's a thing.
That's a thing. We're going to get there.
That's a thing I've seen.
We're going to get
oh, boy.
Dan and I are going to talk about some of the wacky stuff in the video game in the world of video game news.
Wacky.
Wacky. Wacky is a word. Before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Mr. Dan.
You didn't say. You said just hey hello.
Just hey hello.
Hey hello.
What you been up to, Dan?
Oh, man, nothing. Being cold. It's cold
outside.
It is cold. Like, now, we live in the Northeast. It gets cold, but due to, climate change, it really hasn't been getting this cold in December. This is cold like when we were kids.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been a while since I've... And it hasn't been that much lately either. It's been, like, not too bad outside. I was raking leaves a couple of weeks ago, but today was, like... stupid cold.
It was so windy. It hurt.
Ridiculous.
I was walking around the city today. I was walking around Philadelphia today. And it just... Like, I was walking down the street and, like, a cold wind blew down. And this dude walked by me and he just, like... He's all bundled up under his shit and I'm all bundled up under my shit. And he looks at me and just goes, "It's chilly in Philly, boy. Have a good day." Just kept on walking. Oh, this city's great. Fuck you, Carson Wentz. City's awesome. Chilly Philly boy. Oh, man, it was... Yeah, that's been about it. Work's been super, super busy, as it usually is, and super crazy up and right before the holidays. So, I haven't had a ton of time to do much other than Puzzle and Dragons, but, still nobody donated to the GoFundMe page that we didn't create.
Damn.
So I'm really upset about that.
Profound sadness.
And still don't have TARDIS one of these days. It is nice, though, because, like reflecting back on how many days I've been playing this game, it's nice to see something that they are continuously making improvements to. Like, I remember when I started playing this game, to skill up your characters was just horrendously difficult. It was just a pain in the ass. And now with the quality of life improvements that they've made to the game, like every card that I've pulled out of this Dragonbound Rem, I've skilled up already. It's awesome. They're like ready to go when I need them. I don't know what I'm going to use them for, but they're there and it's great. It's 853 days, but
it's a hell of a tally.
I looked it up on Google. I just Googled, like, what day was it 853 days ago. It was, like, August 15th, 2015 or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Hot damn.
It's stupid. I know, it really is.
Editor's note. As of the recording of this podcast, it had been 858 days on Puzzle and Dragons for Dan. That day coincides with Sunday, August 9th, 2015. We here at SAG apologize for any confusion this misinformation may have caused. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, speaking of stupid...
Day 1,000. Yeah.
Day 1,000.
I did... Hold on. Oh. Wait, no, this was super exciting. it's not really super exciting, but whenever I walk to the grocery store with my kids, we always play Pokemon Go as we're walking around. And I just happened to, like, I didn't close the app. I switched it when I got home, and a couple hours later went up to the bathroom, was brushing my teeth, and because I'm a junkie, I took out my phone while I was brushing my teeth and clicked it open. And I was like, oh, Pokemon Go's still up. I wonder if there's any Pokemon in the bathroom. And son of a bitch, there was a Snorlax.
Really exciting. The bathroom.
There was a Snorlax just in the bathroom while I'm brushing my teeth. Like, fun. So I have a Snorlax now. Good time.
Well, that's excellent news.
Mm-hmm.
I call that a definite win. If there's right. anywhere to catch a Snorlax in your bathroom, that's
right. I mean,
that's it.
Just hanging out on the toilet. Like, what are you doing, Snorlax?
Sleeping, gross. Sleeping and pooping.
Sleeping poop. Anyway, what have you been up to, Chris?
Well, I decided that I am making a concerted effort to quit being a fat bastard, and I went running yesterday.
Oh, yuck.
And
sounds awful.
I ran 3 miles. I did not know I could do that. So it was my first time running in a long time, and I'm pretty ouchy at the moment. But my reward for that is so I don't like using the bathroom in my building because it skews me out. So my van.
Because you're weird?
I'm weird, yes. So my minivan has become my, like, changing place. So I just go outside.
That's so weird.
Put up the shades of my minivan, put down the seat in the back, and I just use that to change my clothes, and then I hop out of the back of the van and I go running. And then when I came back, I rewarded myself with some Doom because I have it on Switch. So I have, you know, I went running for 3 miles, came back, laid down on the floor of my van for a little while, begging for death, and then I killed a bunch of demons in Doom, and it was great.
That's a weird fucking day, dude.
Yeah, I'm working on running twice a week for a while until that becomes tolerable. So right. I'm going to be doing it again tomorrow, if I'm physically capable of it. We shall see. But so I've been playing more Doom. Obviously, I'm a. What did I just do? I just stopped some sort of reactors from exploding, and it was just wonderful room. I died once, and then I said, "Ooh, I'm going to save this for later because this looks like fun." It's just this room. As soon as you like stop this reactor thing from going off, just a ton of demons fill the room.
Nice.
It's just so much fun. I got the plasma rifle, which is nice, but it blows through ammo super fast. And I tend to stick with the shotgun is really my favorite weapon. Though one of the things that I did come across was my first challenge room. I forget exactly what they call them, but you get to these mm-hmm. little warp points and they just warp you into a room and they hook you up with a challenge. And then this one was kill, I think it was 15 imps within the time limit. And if you do the glory kills, you get extra time. And so I lost the first time, and then the second time I was like, okay, I got this. I totally got right. this. So he has to do it with the shotgun, and I just destroyed it. This is my second attempt, and it was so much fun because it's like they just keep respawning in this little round room, and you're just like, come here, motherfucker, and you just keep ripping their arms off and breaking their necks, and it's just delightful. Just delightful. I love Doom. It's so much fun. Let's see what else. I beat Super Mario Odyssey.
Did you?
Oh boy, what a great ending sequence that has. So like I can't believe this surprised me neither. Like it shouldn't have, but it did. So you fight Bowser and it's pretty much the same.
No shit.
It's pretty much Bowser? The same fight you had with him earlier in the game where his hat like pops out a couple of boxing gloves and then right. you have to like take his hat. Like you don't possess his hat, you just knock it over and then you put it on. You run at him and he just beat the fuck out of him. It's really funny. So they just made kind of like an extra version of that where you have to do it a little more challenging. But then like you finish things and you, because you're on the moon, like something goes wacky and then you're like hurtling, like the area on the moon is going to blow up or something like that, and there's a whole escape thing. And so it's you and the princess and Bowser, and you have to possess Bowser to get everyone out of there safely, which I don't know why I didn't think that was going to happen. But as soon as I was like, oh shit, I get to throw my hat at Bowser. And it's like, It's really disturbing. You can tell that both parties are really unhappy about it. But then you get to be Bowser with a Mario cap and a mustache, and you get to run around as Bowser breaking a bunch of shit to break everyone out of there. Nice. And then you go into a 2D segment because they have those cool little 2D segments, and then you get to run around as the Super Mario 1 Bowser sprite breaking bricks and shit with the princess on your shoulder in with Princess Toadstool's 8-bit sprite, which is great.
Naturally.
And what I really dug about the ending of the game was, like, at the very end, like, Bowser's still there, and then Mario's, like, wearing this tuxedo, because you get this tuxedo when you go to crash Bowser's wedding for no reason other than that it's hysterical.
Well, and, like, you have to dress appropriately.
You do, and, like, Bowser comments on your outfit, and apparently different outfits that you wear, if, like, if you change out of the tuxedo and put something else on, Bowser will say something different to you about your clothes.
Like, he'll be shitty about it?
Probably.
That's awesome.
I can't wait to try again. But, so, like, Mario goes to hit on the princess, and then Bowser goes to, like, hit on the princess again, because they're both wearing their tuxedos, and the princess is just like, you know what, screw you guys, and she leaves them there. She just fucking maroons you on the moon. And, like, I think Mario jumps up to kind of grab on, but the whole ending sequence was absolutely brilliant. It was just great. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
I don't know if you caught my surprise. I mean, I can't believe that you fight Bowser. I mean, because you already had done that. Like, that's so
I know, odd. It's a real shocker. But they did wind up coming up with some, they wound up making it creative. And God knows how they keep making fighting Bowser creative, but they did it. And then, like, right after that, I know everyone said that the game really opens up with the post-game content. And it's not even the credits roll and then you go to a new world. Then you go to the Mushroom Kingdom and it's like, oh, okay, I'm now in a whole new part of the game that didn't exist before I beat it. So, like, it's just completely opens everything up after you beat the game.
That's pretty wacky.
It is pretty wacky. But seeing as the storyline isn't all that long, it's like just the right amount of storyline. And then, all right, you want to go nuts? Let's get nuts.
Go play Mario.
Go play Mario. And last but not least, I bought Spelunker because it was on sale. I said to myself that this game was $30, and there's no freaking way in hell I'm paying $30 for a new Spelunker game. It's just never going to happen.
No.
But I just hopped onto the eShop the other day and looked at the games on sale, and I saw Spelunker was on sale for less than $20. And I said, well, $20 was pretty much what I'd pay for that game. So I'm in. So I haven't played it yet, besides the demo that I absolutely loved, but I have it for whenever I'm done playing all the other things. I still haven't even touched the Zelda DLC yet, so.
Oh, wow. That surprises me.
I've just been playing Doom and Odyssey, and, like, I want to get into it, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, I turn this on, and then I'm not going to do anything else in these other two games, and now I'm in a situation where I can play games, but still not a ton, and I have too many to play. It's pretty quacky, but I'm
there's
happy about
nothing
it.
That makes you fucking happy.
Everything Jesus. Makes me happy.
You are so hard to please.
I am. So let's talk about the things that have been in the news.
Okay.
I wrote down a bunch of stuff, and you had one major news story you wanted to talk about, right? The Puzzle and Dragons thing you were want to talk about.
Which one was that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I saved that for after the break. So.
Yeah.
And consider that a tease. Dan is going to talk about Puzzle and Dragons after the break.
It's not even news. It's just something that fucking annoys me. But yeah.
All right.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. So let's go a little bit out of order here, because I think we should start with the most important news story. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds has been cast as Detective Pikachu.
I don't even know what kind of a world we live in where we deserve that or need or want that. I'm not sure of any of this.
So now I looked into Detective Pikachu a little bit a while back. From what I've come to understand, it's a lot more bizarre than we think it is. Like, I think it's, and I could be very wrong here, and let me just issue this blanket statement. I could be very wrong about almost anything I say on the podcast ever. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, we are really, no, absolutely nothing.
We're we're somewhat informed.
Not even that.
And but we speak with confidence. And
it's really the only thing we have going for us.
So if what I learned is to be believed, Detective Pikachu, he speaks like a normal person, but it's like, I think it's kind of like a Stewie on Family Guy thing where you don't know, you as the audience don't know if everyone else can understand him or if like he's talking, but the rest of the world is just hearing Pika Pika. I think
that makes a little bit of sense,
but like he's got this weird,
not
like
a ton.
He's like kind of depressed about that fact because he keeps trying to communicate with people and he's frustrated that they don't understand him and he wants to solve like a murder mystery or something. I don't know. This whole thing is so weird. It's so weird. And
it's a little bizarre.
And the casting of Ryan Reynolds is like, I mean,
awesome.
It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's
great.
Awesome. But it's like, this makes it seem like this is not the kind of movie I thought it was. Cause like, I figured this was like a Fathom Events kind of thing, not a big release, but
no, this is a real thing.
This is more legit than like this re-release of Pokemon the movie. I mean, like this is frightening and wonderful and
a Fathom Event.
So okay.
It's so weird. I mean, like I look at Pikachu and I hear Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I was really hoping for some Danny DeVito action. Or I mean, I would have taken Ron Perlman. I think that would have been pretty good.
I don't love Ron Perlman.
I love Ron Perlman.
I don't know why I don't love Ron Perlman.
I don't either.
And I'm sure he's a very lovely man and, you know, whatever. I don't get it. I don't get the Ron Perlman thing.
I think he's wonderful. I think he was delightful as Hellboy. I think he was great in Sons of Anarchy. He's just great.
I never watched that.
Good show. Very violent. Lots of murder.
All right. Well, then, Detective Pikachu, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I get it.
Lots of murder. That's what I'm hoping for.
Murder.
All right. So let's move on.
Poker murder.
Let us move on to PSX happened, right? PlayStation Experience.
It was a thing.
From what I've come to understand, there wasn't a ton of news out of it. It seemed to me
there
like was it
was
just a really, really, really big VR push.
To a point. I mean, I watched it and the press conference, which in years past had been a ton of announcements and like, here's this fucking cool thing and here's this cool thing and like all this awesome stuff. And like, that's where they debuted the new Uncharted game that came out this year and like a bunch of other stuff. This year was mostly just like, like rehashes of stuff that they showed at what was it, Paris Games Week?
Mm-hmm.
I think was the last big,
I think so,
like trade show. But yeah, like they, you know, and they had interviews, like Corey Balrog was there, and it was like they kept making a joke about how he had to go back and like keep working on God of War, and like he has to go finish God of War, and my thought was, why the fuck are you here? Go finish God of War, god damn it. Like, the biggest announcement, I think, for me from that show was that God of War is going to be 25 to 35 hours long.
That's awesome.
Which, like, all of the God of War games beforehand had been, like, 10 hours at most. You know, like, if you're really taking your time and trying to do everything, they're still on the relatively short side. But, I mean, there was a couple of other things. Like, I'm not looking at the show notes, so I apologize if I'm jumping out of order, but like really the only new thing that we got information on was that there is a, and we don't know if it's a remake or a remaster or what, but Medieval, the original Medieval, is coming out on PS4.
I believe it's a remaster. I think that's what it's being billed as.
I think so, but like they were still a little
like,
vague about that, but like whatever, it's more, it's
I'm basically
Medieval.
Expecting like what they did to the Crash Bandicoot thing.
Which will be awesome. I mean, that's such a fun game, and it's such a cool character, and, you know, we've talked about on the show before about how, you know, fuck, Medieval, like, bring that franchise back. It's a good franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this will spark some interest in it.
Would be nice to just give it a good, healthy reintroduction to different generations.
It's very charming.
Very indeed. So where I was going with this whole PSX thing was that there was a new trailer for Death Stranding.
Yeah. I don't know why I want it.
I
do.
So, if you haven't seen this trailer, by all means, find it and look at it. Because I don't even know how I would begin to describe it. But when I mentioned Norman Reedus's throat baby, like there's there's a part in the trailer where like there's it like zooms in Norman Reedus's throat and there's a baby in there and I think he gives a thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then like they zoom back out because like there was a baby strapped to these guys and they're in this weird post-apocalyptic Silent Hill looking place and they've got these. So like they're trying to be inconspicuous, it seems, but they've got like these crazy pinwheels of death on their shoulders, constantly swirling, obnoxiously blinking like the whole trailer. I'm just staring at this thing like, what possible use could you have? What possible reason could there be for you being this annoying? And it's just because chilling on their shoulder Kojima the whole time.
Said so.
Holy crap. And then, like, one of them dies, and he's holding a baby, and he gives it to Norman Reedus, and I don't even remember how they got to the point where Norman Reedus either ate the baby or it was, like, absorbed into him or something. I don't know, man.
There's these weird, shadowy, wraith-looking things.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that's all about. Can't wait to play it.
This is so...
I don't know what I'm going to play, though. Like, I don't even know...
Is it even a game?
I don't know.
It's going to be a gem swap puzzler.
It's a gem swap puzzle game. Absolutely. It's Kojima at his Kojima-ist, I think, which we're about to find out whether or not that's a good thing.
We are, because like something's telling me that this guy needed a leash.
for all intents and purposes and, you know, reviews and sales figures... It wasn't a great thing for an Afune. Mighty No. 9 did not do well.
No, it did not.
And the rest of the concept stuff, because haven't they already partnered with another studio or been bought out or something already?
I feel like that's the case. I know that like the Gunvolt stuff's been doing well.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a fun game and they actually finished it.
But that was before, wasn't it?
That was announced after the Kickstarter, but before Mighty No. 9 came out. Okay. And then they did that Mighty Gunvolt thing for the Switch.
Yeah.
Supposed to be like, oh, this is what Mighty No. 9 should have been.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually fun.
And then, like, there's that weird Xbox exclusive one. Did that come out?
Is that the thing that's supposed to be, like, the Mega Man Legends offshoot?
But no, not Mega Man. It was like a 3D kind of thing. Like, I don't even fucking know what's going on with an Afune, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, it does me too, because we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to one of our later stories here.
Maybe Kojima needs a leash. I mean, it's very possible that he does.
On the other hand, people might be the most brilliant thing. Yeah, it might be brilliant. I can already tell it's not for me. Like, I'm not lining up to buy this game, but
no,
I'm kind of glad it exists because of how completely insane it is. And like, I love how Norman Reedus is so on board. Like, you saw him at the after the trailer, and he's just like, I don't know what any of that was about, but I'll keep doing it because this guy's awesome.
Because this guy's great. Love this guy.
Yeah, that was wonderful. It was like, all right, cool. He's as confused as we are. I'm in. I mean, I'm not in, but I'm glad it's here. I'm glad it exists.
In Kojima, we trust.
Exactly. Because
in Kojima, we were born again. In the real world, we had no. Fight Club?
No, I got it.
His name was Robert Paulson.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
God damn it, Space Monkeys. Get the fuck off the porch. I fucking love that movie so much.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
It's so good.
So let's see. I'm not doing these in any real order. They were just kind of like the order that I wrote them down. So
yeah.
Let's see. The Game Awards happened.
They did. I didn't watch them at all.
I did not. I turned them on for like 14 seconds and it was some band playing. And I said, well, I don't have time for this. I actually forgot they were happening.
Yeah, because they mean nothing.
I appreciate what Jeff Keighley's trying to do, but
sure,
it's
but when you walk into a store and you see 58 different games that have a Game of the Year edition,
yeah, Game of the Year kind of stops meaning things.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
like when you go into a store and you like see a bunch of Blu-ray releases and it says winner for Best Picture. There's not more than one of those per year.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's
Academy
that's
Award
a thing.
Winner.
Yeah.
You know, and you can really kind of narrow that down. But, you know, the Game of the Year edition, they're just like Game of the Year, not like AIAS Game of the Year. Like they used to do that. Like you used
right.
to see like there was Ocarina of Time or whatnot, had a little label slapped on it. The AIAS was a here's this one Game of the Year. Hooray. But
it's like boxing now. Like, and I know you're a big boxing fan, Chris, so I don't have to explain this to you. But for
no,
our listeners
please,
who are
but
not...
Please explain it to the listeners,
big boxing fans. There are a number of different organizations that sanction boxing matches. So whereas back in the day, Muhammad Ali was the world champion, now I think there's seven organizations that each have a world champion, which is why you have dudes like when Floyd Money Mayweather comes out to fight, he's got all types of different belts. It's because he's the champion for all these different organizations.
Wow.
It's very confusing and very dumb.
That is.
Like, and there's only one or two that people really care about, like the WBO, and I forget what the other one is because I've really fallen off boxing in the last number of years, but... You know, there's not really, like, does the video game industry really doesn't have an equivalent of that? I know Jeff Keighley is trying to make his thing that, but it's not really there yet.
Nah, it's not. It's getting better, though. It is, I will say that they are making some serious strides, and but it's just not there yet. It's not quite. But... At the Game Awards, there were some announcements, and one of those announcements was that Bayonetta 1 and 2 are coming to Nintendo Switch.
Which is great.
Which is great. And which is even more great is that Bayonetta 3 is in development.
Is
exclusively
that
for Switch.
Going to be exclusive to Nintendo, right?
It is, yeah, exclusively for Switch.
That is awesome.
And as expected, there was like huge backlash afterwards, like, oh, it was bad enough that 2 was exclusive. Why are you making 3 exclusive too? And then... Kamiya kept coming back. He's like, 2 wouldn't have existed without Nintendo.
There you go.
Therefore, 3 wouldn't have existed. It's going to be a Switch exclusive. Deal with it.
Not enough of you fuckers bought the first one. Be thankful that Nintendo published the second one.
And
buy a Switch.
Yeah, like, people didn't buy Wii U's for that, but now the Switch is actually a viable platform. Like, there's a lot of good stuff on the Switch. Go buy the Switch if you want to play Bayonetta.
I might actually pick those up.
I'm definitely
Switch.
Picking them up because I
if
never got around to
Santa
playing.
Santa Claus happens to bring one.
I didn't get around to playing the Bayonettas because I bought Bayonetta 2 because it was on stupid sale, but I really wanted to get the 1 and 2 pack because I wanted to play the first one first.
Right.
And but I never got my hands on the first one for Wii U, and I also never got around to buying it for the other platforms. But... Now this is it. This is one of the things I'm doing next year. I'm playing Bayonetta 1 and 2 because I played the demo of Bayonetta 2, which was freaking ridiculous. Like, it was really good. So I've heard just astronomically good things about Bayonetta 2, and I'm really excited that they're bringing this back. Like, that
well,
was
and
really
I really
great
do
news.
I really do feel like Suda 51 games belong on Nintendo platform.
Well, that's not Suda 51. This is
or not of, Suda.
Hideki Kamiya. This is a
yeah.
You know what is
sorry.
It? Okami, Beautiful Joe, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah.
I
also stand by my statement of Suda 51 games belong on Nintendo consoles, but
I agree.
Kamiya.
Oh man, I forgot all about that. There's a new No More Heroes game coming out.
I know.
How did I forget about that? Jesus. There's some good shit going on. coming out on Switch. I'm really excited.
I'm really excited that you're now stuck in the rut that the rest of us have been in for so long of like, I'm never going to play all of this.
Yeah, because like I have that, but for like a ton of old games. But I mean, like the Wii U's release schedule was pretty much on pace for me, and I just finished Donkey Kong Country a few months ago.
That's all.
I still have Wii U games I didn't finish yet. I got a Wii U game I haven't even opened yet, crying out loud. I bought Rodea the Sky Soldier because it was on clearance, and they haven't even sniffed it yet.
That's awesome.
Never gonna happen because I'm and a bad person.
That's the thing. You're not going to.
Yeah, because now there's all this great new stuff coming out that I can't wait to mess around with.
Who wants old shit?
So, well, speaking of old shit, in a similar move to... we got the curtain lifted on some serious Mega Manning.
Serious Mega Manning.
All right, so let's get the smaller stuff out of the way. And this isn't the order in which they announced it, but first off, Capcom is putting Legacy Collection 1 and 2 on Switch.
I thought you were going smaller than that first, but okay.
No, I say smaller because this is only one platform. So Legacy Collection 1 and 2 are coming to Switch. There's going to be Amiibo support added. Yay, I guess. Whatever.
Whatever.
I'm super happy to get these because I want NES games on my Switch. I do think it's interesting that these two collections are coming to Switch just because, number one, I always wanted them. Like, when they announced these, it's like, this is so stupid that these aren't on Switch. The only legit reason I can think of is that there's something with the Virtual Console that's preventing them from doing this, but I guess that's not the case. So first off, why didn't you put these on Switch in the first place? Like, this was the safest of bets.
100%.
There was no risk of putting these games on Switch at all whatsoever. So, better late than never. I'm in. I'm super excited to... I have nice HD versions of... 9 and 10 that I can take with me wherever I go. I'm just really excited to play through all the old Mega Mans on the Switch because I love the platform and it's super great. And
it's Mega Man.
And it's Mega Man, you know? Like, I want to play through Mega Man 8 again. I don't love that game, but it's been a long time since I've played it in a format that I really wanted to play it in, and I feel like the Switch is the right platform. I'm excited.
And you want to go back and play the best Mega Man game, which is Mega Man 7.
It's one of my favorites, but no, it is not the best.
No, it's Mega Man.
It's Mega Man 3. So right. They also announced that, and they were a little bit more vague on this one, but Mega Man X games are coming to all platforms. So that's PS4, Xbox One, and Switch are getting all of the Mega Man X games. But they didn't announce how they're releasing them.
Right.
So,
what my fear is that it's not the Mega Man X games, it's the Mega Man X game.
It's like Mega Man on a bike.
It's just Mega Man skateboarding and like rollerblading and doing stupid shit. It's like Tony Hawk's Pro Mega Man. Like, ugh.
That's not a fear. That's amazing.
Actually, now that I say it out,
it's all different Rush transformations.
Rush just transforms into a pair of stupid rollerblades. Only with two wheels, though, because you're fucking wheels, super tough.
Rush transforms into a hacky sack.
Is hacky sack in the X games? I am so out of touch.
I don't know. I'm thinking of California games.
Yeah, oh, that's way different. Mega Man California games. Now that is something way into.
Yes. So much yes. So
TNC Surf Design starring Mega Man.
Ugh, as long as that gorilla's still in it. Yeah.
Thrill of gorilla. I could go for new TNC Surf Designs. Let's put that energy out into the world. See if we can make that happen.
Let's revamp that one.
Maybe somebody can actually teach me how to do the surfing section.
I want a big Thrill of Gorilla in HD. I want a Thrill of Gorilla Bubsy crossover.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. I mean, I would.
I would, too. In a heartbeat.
Anyway, yeah, so Mega Man X.
How do you sell these games? Like, it's got to be, it can't be just as basic as a collection because, you know, once you get to like X7 and X, yeah, but those were just like the 2D guys, right? Well, how did the X collection go up to? Was it just X6, I think? Did it include the PS1 games or was it just the, Crap, what was in the Mega Man X collection?
I don't know. Keep talking. I'll look it up. We'll edit this part out, and we'll just be like, oh, yeah, it was this.
Yeah, we won't edit this out. This is good. This is good podcasting right
this
here.
This
is good material.
Podcasting.
But, I mean, we're talking about the Mega Man X titles here. Like, yeah, you could sell the first one. You could sell the second one. You could sell the third one. You could sell the fourth one. You could sell the fifth one. I don't know who's buying X6, and I sure as shit don't know who's buying Mega Man X7.
Mega Man X through X8 plus Battle and Chase. So 9 games total.
Wow, they had the PS2 games in that collection?
Yeah.
Holy crap on a...
So, I mean, that's got to be... Like, you can't do a collection that's less than that. I mean, but they did with the Mega Man Anniversary Collection. They split it up.
With the Legacy Collections, yeah. The Legacy Collection had everything all chunked together, and then the Legacy Collections. But the thing with the Legacy Collections was that they kind of did more to remaster these games.
They put in some effort.
Yeah, they put in some effort, which...
Instead of just dumping some ROMs on a disc and being like, yeah, buy it!
Hey, Navi Mode was neat. But no, yeah, I mean, I like something. The Anniversary Collection, but...
Oh, I do too. I loved it. I like the X Collection as well.
Yeah, and like, the thing about the Legacy Collection, I have not actually played it because I don't have the platforms that it was released on.
Right.
But, you know, I read about it, and they were like, no, we put a lot of effort into making these, you know, as true to form as possible. Like, they're the best... They're essentially remastered, but not remade in any sort of way. And I really appreciate that, but I also looked at it like, well, you're selling... Just Mega Man 1 through 6, and,
right.
Well, it just seems kind of cheap to me.
Yeah,
and I actually
you missed
wrote a
four
whole,
of them there, yeah, kids.
I wrote a whole article about it, like, oh, after they announced Legacy Collection 2, was that Legacy Collection 2 was basically the excuse for Legacy Collections 3 and 4.
Right.
Because, like, it's missing Mega Man and Bass, which is a pretty blatant omission, like... That game,
right?
Is...
But then we're talking about the Zero games, and there's still more that they can.
Well, yeah, but
throw
I mean, we're
there.
Talking about just like the games that are part of that continuity of the original, you know, OG Mega
right.
Man continuity.
Right.
Mega Man and Bass it's one of those games. It's directly referenced in the ending of Mega Man 9. Like they show that last scene of Mega Man and Bass when they're showing all the different times Mega Man has, was it 9 or 10? I don't remember. It might have been 10, but one of the things he goes up against Wily after you beat him, and it just shows all the times that he's beaten Wily, and he's like, this is ridiculous. I've done this so many times. And Mega Man and Bass was in there. Like, it's one of the Mega Man games. And the Super NES version hasn't been released here in America yet. It's so strange that that wasn't in Legacy Collection 2, which was, what, 9, 10... It was what was Legacy Collection 2? Oh, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, the second one only has 4 games in it.
Right.
That's, what is that? Why isn't Mega Man and Bass on this collection? Oh, because then you could throw that together with Mega Man Battle and Chase, and you could do a whole different collection for all the Game Boy games, which I still really wish they would do. There was, Mega Man Mania was supposed to be colorized versions of all the original Game Boy Mega Man games, and I wanted it so bad, and it just got canceled out of nowhere. Profound sadness. So, I guess if they could technically put them all in one collection, unless they're going to attack these the same way that they did the Legacy Collections. But even then, like, how do you split it up? Because you went, the first three were Super Nintendo, and then 4, 5, and 6 were PlayStation 1, and then 7 and
right.
8 were PS2. So, well,
but I mean, if you're slapping that on a Blu-ray, like,
well, yeah, if you're slapping it on a Blu-ray, but they could have slapped
the
all
Switch
the NES
not,
games and whatnot.
Yeah.
Legacy Collection 1 and 2 didn't have to be two collections, so
no, it really didn't. Geez, I don't know.
They might try to slapdash those together, but who's going to buy the last one? Who's going to buy X7 and X8?
I'm not.
I'm buying terrible. Them if they're part of like another collection that includes other good ones, but I'm not messing with that stuff. Axel sucks.
Yeah. Well, and the other, like, the one that we forgot too was Command Mission, which is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, Command Mission was I did forget about that. That is definitely an X game.
Yeah. I like that one quite a bit,
Extreme
actually.
Extreme 1 and 2, but Extreme 1 and 2 were kind of like the Game Boy versions,
yeah,
of those games, which weren't as good as I wanted them to be. mostly because the music wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I really wanted awesome 8-bit renditions of the X music, and they were just decent renditions. But
yeah,
podcast from another podcast. So yeah, all the Mega Man X games, all the mainline Mega Man X games are coming to platforms. And if that wasn't enough, Capcom also announced Mega Man 11. How did you feel about this trailer?
I loved everything about it.
Okay.
I really did. I looked at it and went, oh, so they made a better Mighty Number 9, which is, you know, he was trying to make a better Mega Man and they went, no. This is, I mean, it takes a couple of views to really get what's going on in the trailer. Like the weird, it's a little bit of a weird blending of 2D and 3D elements on the screen.
But I think it looks really cool. They need some work in the visuals department.
Oh, sure. And it's coming out, like, what did it say, late 2018?
Yeah, we've got a year. There is time to clean this up.
There's plenty of time.
The first time I watched the trailer, I was like, huh. I mean, I'm stoked. It's Mega Man 11. That's neat. But
right.
This is rubbing me the wrong way in some degrees. And it's because I was really focusing on Mega Man, which who in still shots looks great, but right. He animates really weird. And then you've got the backgrounds, which are pretty sparse looking. But then you see, like, the enemies, and they look amazing. Like,
they
the
really
little
do.
Sniper Joe guys in the wheels, and then that spinning around eyeball thing. Like, they look astonishingly amazing. They look like the artwork from those PS1 re-releases of the first six Mega Man games.
Yeah.
They look they look like the best Mega Man artwork I could possibly imagine. They look like I've always wanted a Mega Man game to look. And if they can manage to get the rest of the game to just catch up to that, then...
And I think they will.
I hope they will, because this is Capcom, so they haven't been great in art direction lately.
No.
Street Fighter V and Marvel vs. Capcom, for all of their good points, which there are definitely good points in those games.
Sure.
The art direction is not one of them.
No.
The art those games are ugly. There's just something inherently ugly about those games. And so that's definitely not their strong suit right now, but if you listen to the interviews with the people that are making this, like, number one, it's, I love their explanation as to why there hasn't been a new Mega Man game in a long time,
mm-hmm.
which is, well, Inafune left and nobody wanted to jump up and say, I'll do this, you know, because how do you fill those shoes? And well, somebody finally did. And I'm glad that they did. And it's like, one of the things I'm so excited about with this is that I'm hoping that we get something similar to what we got with Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey, where it's like, well, let's just let new guys try this out. Let's see what the new kids have to offer to this. And they wound up doing these amazing things. So we've got this new team taking on Mega Man, and they didn't tie it into the new cartoon that's coming out on Disney XD. They just straight up continued the Mega Man. Like, it's Mega Man 11.
Yeah.
And they didn't rely on nostalgia with the 8-bit look. They just went this new direction, and I'm thrilled about it. I'm ever so slightly nervous about those few things. Like I said, things looked a little sparse. Some of the animations are off, but those enemy designs and the way they animate and the way they look, they give me so much hope, and I'm really excited about this game.
Yeah, because you said almost exactly the same thing I wrote down in one of the Bits and Brews posts that you can find right here on geekade.com, where I put Bourbon County Stout and Mega Man 2 together, and there's a picture of the boss select screen in there, and it's like a fan picture, so, you know, hand-drawn, and it looks like what they always look like in my mind as I was playing the game. And that's what these characters look like now. Like, it's finally caught up to what my imagination was filling in when I was a kid.
Yeah, and it didn't go...
And
it doesn't seem to be
really
going
happy.
Too far in the Mega Man 8 category, where it went a little bit more anime-ish. Like, I feel like Mega Man 8's art direction was kind of a little bit too in that more detailed direction. I like this look.
Right, I still want it to be a cartoon.
Exactly. I still want it to be a cartoon. I don't want him to be Mega Man to be too much more detailed, you know.
I just want it to look like I just want it to look like fucking old Astro Boy cartoons.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's exactly what I want it to look like, and that's what this game reminds me of.
And the charge shot and the slider back. Yay.
Yep.
Awesome. Still cheese that they took those out of Mega Man 9 and 10. And that neat little supercharge move that he does at the end. Like, you can apparently charge yourself up. And I'm so thrilled that there's finally new Mega Man. There is an acceptable enough excuse as to why there hasn't been Mega Man for so long. I don't know that that's the whole story, but I will accept that. It's coming out next year. They're going to hit us up with a bunch of other games in the meantime, like re-releases of old stuff. It seems to be in the hands of people that genuinely care about the property. Like, they talk about how much thought they put into the way Mega Man looks and why he looks that way. Like, there is a...
Right.
They listen to the interview. They talk about why he looks the way he looks. Like, to the details of this is what this character means. This is what makes him tick. And the fact that they've put that much thought into it makes me confident that they're going to come up with a really good game. So, again, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch... Hooray. I'm super stoked.
We'll be talking about it. We'll definitely. You and I don't always necessarily buy the same games on release day, but I feel like that'll be one that we did. Kind of like with Metroid.
Yeah, this is going to be one that we'll both be playing.
And 8-bit Mega Man is coming to Monster Hunter World.
That's so creepy looking.
It's so weird. It's so bizarre. I played a little bit of the beta that they had this past weekend for Monster Hunter, and I still don't get it.
Yeah, I'll never still get Monster Hunter, and I'm okay with that. Let's just chalk this up to, like, Death Stranding. I'm glad it exists, but I'm okay without it in my life.
Yeah, I don't need another thing.
Yeah, I don't need to understand this one. All right, last one we're going to talk about before the break is another new release that I am honestly a little excited about. And I hope I get more excited about it in the future. But Soul Calibur 6 was announced.
I'm really excited.
It looks very good. I haven't liked the last couple of Soul Calibur games. There just has been something a little lacking in them. But I feel like Namco has really got their shit together right now with... are they publishing FighterZ? I feel like Namco is the one that has the Dragon Ball license. But the new Tekken game looks great. And... their treatment of both Geese Howard and Akuma in that game, I think, is great. I think Tekken 6, I've never been a Tekken guy, but I really like the way that game looks.
Like the way it moves.
Yeah, it's really cool looking. And this Soul Calibur, to me, just looks better than the last ones. Because I remember the last couple of ones that have come out, like the PSP ones and the stupid Star Wars one, like I'd look at them like... this just isn't grabbing me. I haven't been excited about a new Soul Calibur game since Soul Calibur 3. And this one really was exciting to me. I was genuinely upset that it wasn't announced for Switch. But there are lots of rumors that the reason for that is that they're holding off the announcement because it's going to have Link in it again. And they're going to do it in a Nintendo Direct.
Which would be insane. I actually hope it has Mario in his hat.
Mario and Cappy. That would be hilarious.
Mario and Cappy going up against Lizard Man seems like a damn good time.
I think
they didn't announce exclusive characters for Sony or Microsoft.
I don't think so. No,
not yet.
I mean, but and if they do that,
they've
route
done
again,
it with every other release.
Yeah, they've did it with it. Was it all the other releases or just
three?
Three was only on PlayStation.
Three was only on PlayStation. So it was two.
Four had, you know, Yoda and Vader.
Right.
And I don't think five had exclusive characters.
I didn't buy five.
Yeah, I didn't. I was so just didn't care about five. But I don't know if look, the game just looks great as is. I'm happy. And if there is a Switch version of this coming out that has Breath of the Wild Link in it, I'm so sold.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sold regardless if this does come out on Switch, which I'd hate to say that I'd be surprised if it doesn't. It just makes a lot of sense for this to come out on Switch, but it also makes a lot of sense for FighterZ to come out on Switch, and that hasn't been announced yet. So I don't know, man.
That would be really, really sad if it does not make it. If Dragon Ball FighterZ does not make it to Switch, that is not okay.
I mean, apparently Xenoverse 2 did really well on Switch. Not like insanely well, but considering the game's kind of old and everyone's hyped about FighterZ, the fact that the game sold pretty well on Switch is very impressive to me. So, I mean, there's clearly an audience for it on the platform.
Ezio Auditore di Firenze from Assassin's Creed 2 is in Soul Calibur 5, and Devil Jin is also in Soul Calibur 5, but I do not think they were exclusive.
Yeah, I think they were just guest characters.
Just guest characters.
Which is fine.
Which, yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
Give me back Vader. I would take...
No, I wouldn't. I don't want those characters anywhere near Soul Calibur. They just did not work.
It didn't. It should have.
It should have just been a Star Wars Soul Calibur game.
Just please just make that.
Yeah, just do use the Soul Calibur engine, make a lightsaber fighting game. But
or
having
just fucking let me create those characters.
Having Darth Vader fighting against Mitsurugi is just dumb.
Well, yeah, because Darth Vader stands no chance. You do the little leg sweep and the fucking down slash and like that beats anybody. Just Lizard Man.
Lizard Man.
Lizard Man. And
Lizard Man.
Lizard. It's a blending of two worlds. Beautiful thing.
It really is. Lizard Man works in all scenarios.
He really does.
All right. Well, there's the first chunk of news. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the news. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast on Geekade.com. So stick around.
And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, just in time for the winter holidays, our tabletop gaming podcast has a special episode as a gift just for you.
Aww.
Join Dave and returning guest Rocco for another D&D adventure in which Dave's trademark hero, Alubris, is transported to an island of mystery. Can he escape being hunted by unusual creatures and avoid the worst fate of all? Find out in an all new fuck, You Shall Not Pass Go Extra Planet of the Ick.
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 Well then, speaking of tabletop gaming, do you like board games, tabletop
yes.
RPGs, meeting new yeah. people? Well then, do we have a convention for you? Well, we don't, but the convention exists. Matt Much checked out the latest con offered up by the Penny Arcade Empire and reported back to us on all the cool stuff he saw there. Find out what new games you should be trying to get your hands on as last-minute holiday gifts and lots more in PAX Unplugged. Welcome home, located in the think tank.
You know, I'm really upset that nobody will buy me One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Just looks like a lot of fun. I want to play it with people.
I'm upset that nobody will buy me Werewolf for NES.
Really?
No.
I did really like that game.
I think I already have it.
Thought it looked really cool.
Werewolf?
Werewolf? Werewolf. Why are you talking like that? Finally, the fellas from the Nonstop Comic Shop have a fresh new episode just for you. Get it? Just like the other commercial I read. First, they look in Jordan's Why the Hell Do I Own This collection and find some Punisher goodness. Is it the one where he was black for a while? Because that was interesting. Speaking of Punisher, how did they like the new Netflix show? Why don't all shows end with Dracula eating a hamburger? Find out the answers to these questions and more in Nonstop Comic Shop, Episode 11, Corporal Punishment.
You remember Space Punisher?
There's Black Punisher, like, teaming up with Luke Cage for a while. There was Space Punisher.
I love how Space Punisher was just the Punisher, but he had a cape and he was in space.
Yeah, well, it's like Jason in space. There was Captain America Punisher when, like, Cap died and he was like, I'm going to get a really fucking dumb outfit and, like, wear a mask for some reason. There's fucking, like, stupid bandaged up Punisher all the time. Like, every fucking issue, he just had a lot of white bandages all over him. So it's like, what are we doing? All
Dude,
of this
Punisher's
is dumb.
Crazy.
All of this is stupid. And that Netflix show, I've only watched the first episode because Tiff has been sick. But holy fuck is it violent.
Pooch is crazy.
It's so good.
I can't wait to start it.
It's good.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com.
I think he was a Venom for a while. I think there was a Venom storyline.
The Vanisher.
The Varnisher. I want to fun your windows. What? That doesn't really work. Stop it, Frank.
And we're back. Now that Dan's nose is nice and moist, let's talk news. Dan, you had something related to Puzzle and Dragons that was pissing you off. Why don't you talk about it?
Yeah, what's driving me nuts about this is it's EA again.
How is EA related to Puzzle and Dragons?
The loot box fiasco that they have unleashed upon the world of video games with Star Wars Battlefront 2 has gotten so bad so quickly that there are members of the United States Congress. There's one guy particularly that has his ire has been raised. He's a senator from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And he is looking to introduce a bill into Congress, and it's in the early stages of the bill. But basically, it would put a ton of restrictions on games that have gambling components to them. One of those games being Puzzle and Dragon. Now, entering into games like that, into gacha games where you pay money to get a virtual item that you don't get to keep when the game shuts down. Like, we are all very much aware, anybody who plays these sorts of games, and Battlefront 2 is included, anybody who plays these sorts of games is aware that, you know, whatever money I dump into this game, when they shut the servers down, it's gone. This isn't something that I get to take with me. But they're looking at imposing rules and restrictions and different things that could very well signal the end of these games for people who are responsible. And what really pisses me off about it is that this really hasn't been a tremendous problem until EA decided to fucking be EA about shit and ruin it for everybody. Have you been keeping up on what's going on with the loot boxes that they're doing in Battlefront 2?
More or less. Didn't they, like, kind of remove them more or less, or make people make a lot of that stuff free because everyone complained? And EA was just like, oh, we listened when you talked. And everyone was like, no, you got caught and you tried to fix everything.
Right. And they're not going to leave it that way. They're going to add new stuff because it's fucking EA, and they're going to add new stuff that you can only get through the loot boxes. And what they did was insane. I mean, somebody had done the math, and it was like literally thousands of dollars to eventually get high enough odds to get all of the shit that you needed or that you could get in Battlefront, which is ridiculous. But the fact that a giant corporation continues to be super greedy, and that proliferates down to other forms of entertainment, like, it's again another example of these big greedy fuckers ruining shit for smaller companies and for other people. And without getting too much into a deep political conversation, it's just enough. Stop doing shit like this. Getting the fuck, like, do we really want to get to a point where the United States Congress is involved in our video games?
No, and I mean, there's...
You know what I mean? Like, because that's where we're going.
The game's already $60, all right? The game's already $60, and developers are going to, or you know, pleading poverty, basically. Like, and these games are really expensive to make, so we need to try to find, you know, ways to... No, you fucking don't. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. It's starting to cut into your profit margins, sure, but it's not like you're suffering all this hardship or whatever. Like, you don't need the microtransactions in there. You see how much money people are raking in on mobile phones, and you want a piece of that. Right. I get it. Stop. Like, that's just not how this... It takes so much of the fun out of this situation. Like, I'm writing an article this week about Star Wars games that are crappy because I was trying to think of, like, Star Wars games in recent memory that I was genuinely excited for, and I can't remember the last time I played a really good Star Wars game. And
Force Awakens. The last one I played that I was really excited about.
There was a Force Awakens game? I don't even remember.
Or not Force Awakens. Fuck. What's the...
Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed.
Yeah. And I don't even think that was really all that good. I played through the first one beginning to end, but
it was fun.
It was fun, but it didn't.
I was excited about that one. I had a good time with that. It's certainly not perfect, but that was the last one.
And that was a long time ago.
It was.
But even then, like, basically what it all comes down to is what I want out of a Star Wars game, I want Uncharted.
Yeah.
You know what? I want Uncharted with really good vehicle segments. Like, make a game that has great quippy stories and interactive cutscenes, and I want Uncharted but Star Wars. And I don't think EA is ever going to make that game because that's not the company that they are. They're
not.
Battlefront.
They're very good at what they do. Like, I'm not, like, I don't dislike EA because they make bad games, because they don't objectively make bad games.
No.
They look good. They play well. You know, there's... EA does not ship usually a broken game where it's like, oh, well, the fucking patch will come fix it. You know, like, that's not the company that they are.
Well, we are also talking about the company that literally released the same FIFA game 2 years in a row, but...
They're scumbags.
They are scumbags.
It was a good game. It was just a roster update, but people were dumb enough to buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, like, I can't fault them for that sort of thing, but where I can fault them is when their influence is wielded unfairly. You know what I mean? Like, it just, that sort of thing, like, there are smaller, and it pisses me off because of how much I do love Puzzle and Dragons, and, like, it happened to coincide with, they announced that the European servers of Puzzle and Dragons are shutting down, I think January, something like that. To be fair, the European servers in Puzzle and Dragons, it was never released on iOS in Europe. Mm-hmm. It was only on Android, so, like, right away you were cutting your fan base. I don't know what the mobile numbers are in Europe, but, I mean, I guess we could argue it's half or maybe more, maybe a little. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, they eliminated an entire segment of their market there. It was never really their focus. And North America does not seem to be in any trouble. And Japan is certainly not in any trouble. But it will be if EA and giant corporations continue to do shit that is irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's no different than giant oil companies putting huge fuck-off pipelines through fucking national parks. And then, oh, look, there's an oil spill. Sorry. Yeah, like, it's just, it's fucking irresponsible. And it proliferates into all these other little things. And, you know, you look at a company like Gung Ho that publishes Puzzle and Dragons, but also publishes Let It Die, which is, I think that's a Suda 51 game. I think that's Grasshopper. They have basically come out and said, we publish this because we like it. We lose money on it every month, but Puzzle and Dragons makes us enough money to where we can publish these other things, and we're very happy to do so. And then you have these big companies that fuck it up for the little guys, and that really sucks. Because it doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't. You have, like, EA has, it's Star Wars. It's not going to sit there on the shelf if you just make it fair.
Yeah.
It's fucking Star Wars.
Don't paywall
Darth
Vader. It's
not a hard sell.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh God, it just pisses me off. Because, like, I know we joke around that WayForward should make every game, because they should. They're amazing. But a WayForward Star Wars game? Give me that fucking game. A Retro Studios Star Wars game? Insomniac making a Star Wars game? I mean, like, there's so many other companies that
could do it. I wish it wasn't EA. There's a lot of companies that could make a legitimately awesome Star Wars game. And I can't remember the last time there was an actual legitimately awesome Star Wars game. I guess Republic Commando was really good, but it wasn't up my alley. And
I don't know, Lego Star Wars?
I don't love those games. I should, but I don't. Somebody else, we need fresh blood in the Star Wars franchise. And
we really do. And that's what pisses me off. You know, like I said, it's tangentially related to Puzzle and Dragon, but... You know, and I'm not making light of people who have gambling addictions and that sort of thing, because there are people that spend an exorbitant amount of money on mobile titles and do have a crippling addiction to these certain things. But, like, I don't need EA getting involved in my video game. I don't need EA getting Congress involved in the legislation of our video games.
Agreed.
You know? Fuck you, EA.
Let's move on to something a little bit brighter and happier. Let's move on to Portal Bridge Builder.
Okay. What is this? I don't even know what this is.
It's a new Portal game.
Okay. Build bridges?
But it's a bridge builder.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Portal. It's, like, got Gladys in it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bridge building.
Mm-hmm.
With vehicles. I don't understand why...
It's not at all what I wanted.
No, it's not Portal 3. In fact, it's not even made by Valve. It's like an indie game or something, but they got the Portal license added to it, and it looks neat as hell.
I mean, maybe it's great.
I'm so confused.
I don't know.
See, I read the headline about this, and I was like, all right. I don't know what this means. So I looked at the trailer and I'm like, no, that's Gladys. Like this is an official Portal product right here. This is not some weird offshoot thing. Like it's actually Portal. And it's like, so it's like 2D. And I think the idea is like, you're in the Portal universe and you're trying to get a truck from one end of the screen to the other. So it's vehicle physics, but with portals.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
So, like, you're driving across a bridge that crumbles, but there's a portal underneath it that puts your truck somewhere else. But, like, you're trying to safely get a truck from one end of something to the other instead of a person. I'm so confused.
Happy it exists.
I'm happy too, because there's barely anything in this. Like it does not show much of anything. There's a truck that says Aperture Science on the side. There's a bunch of turrets. There's Gladys. And the truck falls through a portal and then a bridge collapses. Like it's a weird little trailer, but I'm thrilled that it exists, because it's like, all right, well, there's new Portal, and it doesn't look like a bad offshoot. This isn't a Federation force over here. Like, no, right. This isn't the Portal sequel that we want, but it's also like, no, the brand's not dead. Here's this neat idea. And that's basically how Portal started to begin with, you know? Here's this neat idea. Let's make a game. So here we are. So I'm pretty happy about this. And it's also coming to Switch, which is the first time Portal is going to be on Switch. Really, 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 really makes me wish they'd port the first two Portal games to Switch. Because
we should have Portable Portal.
We should have Portable Portal. Damn it. Now we can. You can't tell me the Switch ain't powerful enough to run a couple Xbox 360 games. Come on. Make it happen.
Come on.
That would be so great. Oh, boy. Speaking of good news, though. Did you see this Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection?
Yeah, it's got everything.
Holy crap. I could not believe that this was real. I'm like, we're looking at Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Super Street Fighter 2 The New Challenger, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 3 Second Impact, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, all on one collection. All, according to the trailer, arcade perfect translations of these games. So we're not getting Alpha 2 Gold or the you know, a remaster of the PSP version of Alpha 3 with all those extra characters in it, like Alpha 3 Max or whatever. But that's fine, because Alpha 3 is phenomenal on its own. And all these, this collection is coming to Xbox One and PS4, which is great. And the fact that it's coming to Switch is hilarious.
Because I hope it's cheaper than
it's going to be the same price. Fuck, I'm trying to come up with the words of how deliciously bizarre it is that Capcom had this cooking. You know, like, this didn't just happen. Like, they didn't just flick a switch the other day. Like, this is something they've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
And they still decided to release Street Fighter 2 for $40 on mm-hmm. the Switch. Just Street Fighter 2. Like, yes, it's mm-hmm. Ultra Street Fighter 2, and it's got the HD remix graphics and some art galleries or whatever. And I don't give a crap. It's still just Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. You fuckers keep paying $10 for Mario Run, you're getting $40 Ultra Street Fighter 2. That's what fucking happens.
I would have paid $10 for Ultra Street Fighter 2.
No, you're part of the problem. I think you're missing the big thing here.
Which is?
Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike will all have multiplayer
yes,
online.
Yes, they will all have multiplayer online. And unlike the Street Fighter 20th Anniversary Collection, it's got Street Fighter on it. Like, no, Street Fighter isn't a great game, but when they released the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection and Street Fighter wasn't on it, that was kind of weird.
It was kind of weird.
The game's what, like 24K of memory? It wouldn't have taken much to throw it on the disc.
Yeah.
Which is basically what they're doing here, because it's just there for historical purposes. Like, nobody wants to play Street Fighter 1 for anything other than the curiosity of it. And I love that it's there. I'm so happy that that game is there.
I am really sad that that did not get an online mode. That just would have been so weird, right?
It would have been awful. Why?
It would have been awesome.
It would have been so bad. This just, the only thing that makes me kind of sad about this is like, wow, I now really wish they'd port, Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition over to Switch, because I freaking love Street Fighter 4. It's great. But, I mean, I'm really not out to complain here, because I'm getting...
Right.
I'm getting a new excuse to play Alpha 3 and Third Strike, like, and on the go, no less. Like,
I'm getting a new excuse to not play, or to play a game that doesn't have Rufus in. And that makes me really happy.
Rufus. Which one was Rufus? Why can't I remember Rufus?
The big fat one.
Oh God, Street Fighter 4 Rufus. That's right. Oh God, I hated Rufus.
So cheap.
Yeah, I did not care for Rufus, but he was the only character in that game that I genuinely didn't like. I liked everybody else in Street Fighter 4.
I hated playing against him. Fucked Rufus.
Yeah, Rufus was awful. But the other new characters were great. Like, Juri was great. Mm-hmm. Hakan. Mm-hmm. I love Hakan. Oh my God, I loved Hakan. Man, I wish they put that
one of these days, Chris, you and I will put together not a top 10, but the definitive ranking of Street Fighter characters.
Hmm, that's a good call.
We're gonna do the whole fucking kit and caboodle.
Even the EX characters that aren't even technically the EX owned characters. By Capcom?
Even the EX characters, spoiler alert, Skullamania, number one. Did you see the Street Fighter V, the new character pack that's coming?
I know Sagat's coming. I saw the trailer for Sakura, and I saw that Blanka was announced.
Yeah, it's.
Have they shown Sakura. What he looks like yet?
Yeah, he looks pretty cool. I mean, just the image that, I don't think he's been like in motion yet, but he looks pretty cool.
Because Blanka's one of my all-time favorites. He's my favorite Street Fighter 2 character. Well, next to Guile. I just kind of thinking of the art direction in Street Fighter 5.
Not as good as Skullamania. It's Sakura Blanca Balk, who looks like one of the soldier girls with Cammy. I don't know if she was in 4 or not. Cody, G, and Sagat.
I do not care for the Street Fighter V art style.
I know that, like, you do not.
Blanca's going to be weird on that. I also hope that they don't screw with his move set the way they did with Guiles, where Guiles not a charge character anymore. That really bothered me. I also hate Sakura. She's like my least favorite Street Fighter character, I think, next to Rufus. I just hate that character so much.
Fair enough.
She just bugs me.
I should have read a little further after the trailer. Falk and G are, because G looks a little bit like Abraham Lincoln, is what they wrote here, and yes, he does. But those two are brand new characters.
Oh, okay. Did I hear that Guy was in there too, or?
Cody.
Just Cody, not Guy, okay.
Yeah, Sakura, Blanca, Falk, Cody, G, and Sagat. Or Sagat.
I wonder what Cody they're going with.
He's wearing a suit.
Okay, so he's not in the prison uniform anymore.
Yeah.
Where are you seeing these images? I can't find images on any of this crap.
Polygon?
Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow, he does look like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, he does. I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, look, Cody cleaned himself up. I'm so happy. I hated that Cody was a freaking criminal in Street Fighter Alpha. That bothered me so much because Cody was like the good guy. He fought the Mad Gears. Yeah. I cannot wait to see. See, this is the thing about... Oh, this is the thing about Street Fighter V's art direction that bugs me, is that a lot of the ideas in it I'm really happy about.
Right.
Like Bison with gray hair and like that longer outfit is great, but just something looks off. The way that they made Ken look legit different from Ryu and like screwed around his moveset a bit, I like the idea behind it. It just doesn't work. And the fact that they got Sakura, she's like, oh, she's aged up. She's not a schoolgirl anymore. But she's still basically wearing a schoolgirl outfit because, right. You know, upskirt shots. Thank you, Japan. Screw you. But, yeah. Like, I'm looking at this picture of the Sagat here, and I don't know what he's wearing, but I'm really curious to see what he comes out looking like. And what the hell is Falk? Whatever.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm finally getting the arcade mode. Street Fighter V, man, I have such mixed feelings on that game.
Finally getting the arcade mode in this Street Fighter game.
I really wish I liked this game. Like, Akuma, why does he have a lion's mane? He looks stupid.
He does look stupid.
Just that flat out looks really stupid. Sad. Chun-Li's head, way too small. Don't know what's going on there.
I don't think they made her thighs big. I mean...
This little cinematic trailer is pretty nifty, though. Oh, there's Blanca rolling. I didn't even
look at that yet.
It's in the cinematic trailers. He's too clean. Like, I don't know.
Maybe he cleaned up a little bit.
It's this whole thing with the art direction in this game. It's like you got a lot of great ideas, but
it doesn't look like Third Strike.
Or even just make 4 it look like for Third that Strike. Matter. I mean, nothing's ever going to look as good as Third Strike. Third Strike's it looks like a goddamn... It's a gorgeous. But, yeah, there's just something wrong with this look. It's too shiny. It's too something. Abigail looks weird. But yay for bringing back more Mad Gear characters. Yeah. We could talk Street Fighter all night long. Let's not do that. Oh, hey, look. There's Cody getting out of jail. Now he's wearing a suit, I guess.
Well, that's what you're doing.
Wow, he's got a vest. Well, he looks like Dean. He looks like a jacked up version of Dean. My God. Cody's the new vest lord. Oh, dude, Sagat's outfit looks awesome.
See?
Sagat's outfit looks so good. Wow, that's awesome. God damn it, Street Fighter V. Why don't I like you? Ew. Yeah, all right. There's my live reactions of watching the arcade edition trailer. I don't know, man. But yeah, the Street Fighter collection anniversary. They're really doing Street Fighter's 30th anniversary right, and clearly they're doing Mega Man's anniversary right as well. So
Maybe way to get your crap together, Capcom. Deciding to, give a shit again.
They got their crap calm together. Ha! Anyway.
That was terrible.
Thank you. I mean, I love you. Thank you.
Speaking of Capcom, I'm jumping in and throwing another piece of news in here that you didn't have put down.
Go for it.
They have announced that the Devil May Cry collection is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC in 2018.
Yes, that's right. Devil May Cry collection. I forgot about that.
Which will be awesome.
It will be awesome.
I love the Devil May Cry games.
It's 1, 2, and 3, right? Are they skipping 4 in that? I know they're skipping DMC, but that's not technically within the same continuity, right?
Right. It looks like it's going to be Devil May Cry 2 and then 3. Yeah.
And okay. So not 4. Whatever. Another one that I'm sad isn't coming to Switch, but I guess I'm not really surprised. It's never really been on Nintendo platforms before.
It's a good collection, and they're fun games.
They are, except 2.
I still kind of like 2.
2 is not bad, but if you're putting it in a collection with 1 and 3, like, what's the point?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, just if you're ever given the option, like, well, you could play Devil May Cry 2 or you could play Devil May Cry 3. Even if you've played 3 before, just play 3 again.
Play 3 again. It's good.
It's good.
Or play DMC. That one was good, too.
Yeah, I heard that was good.
It was good. I liked it quite a bit, actually.
I'm sad that it isn't coming to Switch only because I want to play it. And
You never would. You got too much other shit to do.
It's true. I got to play the Bayonetta games. And I'm more sad that the Okami HD isn't coming to Switch because that's just weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
That doesn't make any sense. Okami was on Wii, for crying out loud. The sequel to Okami was only on DS. Like, how are we skipping Switch on this one?
Because reasons.
Because Capcom's crazy pants. But they're not on my shit list anymore. Between the Street Fighter collection, the Devil May Cry collection, and the Mega Man stuff. You're not completely on my shit list anymore.
Fucking bring back some Ghosts and Goblins. We'll be friends.
Mm-hmm. So Ready Player One got a proper trailer. This is video game related because the book is essentially about the world of lots of video game related stuff. Did you catch it?
I did not see the new trailer yet on purpose because I love that book to little bitty pieces. And the teaser that was released earlier was cool,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how much more I want to see.
I get you.
What I mean?
The teaser was kind of cool, but I wasn't sold on it. And now I'm feeling a lot better about the movie after seeing this new trailer.
Okay. Maybe I'll watch it then.
It doesn't seem to give a ton away. It doesn't really answer a lot of the questions I have about the movie.
Right.
Particularly,
did you read the book?
I did. I don't know.
I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, like, because there was definitely some Spielberg stuff references in there, and Spielberg said he didn't want to use his stuff in it, so.
Which is weird.
It is weird. I'm also curious how into the Atari stuff they're going to get, because, like, the Easter egg and adventure, that was a big part of it. I want to know how much of that we're going to see.
Yeah, that's, like, kind of the whole part. That's, like, the whole point of it.
Yeah, you know? So I'm very curious how into that they're going to get, like. They talk about the Sword Quest thing a lot, so
yeah.
I mean, are they going to be as into it as they were in the book? And is the value of those shitty Sword Quest games going to skyrocket after this movie comes out,
Most likely.
Comic books used to when new superhero movies came out? I don't know.
Most likely,
but they don't really touch on that stuff in the trailer much. They just kind of make a better case for the world that they've built, and it looks neat.
All right,
I recommend watching it.
Okay, I will.
The Atari box will be available for pre-order on December 14th, which is yesterday when the game when this podcast comes out. Tomorrow.
Do we still know what
right
it is
now.
Yet?
It's
we still don't know?
It's essentially a Linux box.
Okay,
I don't know what games are coming out for it. I don't know, man.
What's the pre-order price?
I also don't know. You know what? Let me check the email because I'm on the email list for it.
Naturally.
Because I just had to be.
I do really like the way it looks.
I do like the way it looks. It is a fancy-looking little thing. All right, Atari Box pre-order. Let the games begin. It's time. Atari Box will be available for pre-order on December 14th, 2017. You'll be the first to know before pre-orders go live. Our team would like to offer our earliest supporters a chance to grab Atari Box at an exclusive discount, so keep an eye on that inbox. These deals will be extremely limited. We'll tell you everything you need to know to get the best deal soon. So I don't think there even is a price yet. Is there a link on here that I can click that'll get me to... Oh, I clicked on a thing. What's it doing? This is just the Indiegogo. You're not helping me here.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know, man. This is
apparently
giving me
my grocery store down the street is on fire, so...
That's neat.
We should wrap this up so I can go look at it.
Free marshmallows, pre-toasted. That's awesome.
All right, so Atari Box, awesome.
I don't know, man. I don't know if this is a thing or who is this for?
I don't know.
Atari has gone nuts. Like the what could... I don't understand what this system could possibly offer that the general populace wants.
Yeah, I don't know. If it, like I think we said before, like if it's a cheaper Steam Box, then that sort of makes a little bit of sense, I guess, but I don't know.
Hey, they got speaker hats now too, so I don't know.
There's that.
We'll see what happens. This is just Atari Box is one of those weird situations where there's a new Atari console coming out next year, apparently. I mean,
and no one knows anything about
as far as I'm concerned, this thing is still vaporware, but I mean, yeah, we'll see. They took pre-orders on the Retro VGS, I think, or the Coleco Chameleon, so I don't think this is that. At least it looks really nice. It's not an Atari Jaguar shell. That's right, Atari made a new console and put it in a new shell. Fucking hell.
Oh, goodness.
I guess the last thing I wanted to touch on was the whole Patreon thing.
So, I don't even know what that is.
So Patreon, I contribute a couple of different Patreons. I support mm-hmm. Banjo Gaiali on Patreon. I support PPF, who is Poop Poop Fart, who makes right. just amazing video game covers. Long story. And Nintendo Force, and that's how they do their subscription service through Patreon. And they announced that Patreon was jacking up their prices, but like the people set their prices. But Patreon, basically the way I understand it was that they're taking the way that, you know, the credit card transaction fee, which okay. is usually covered by the Patreons because it's right. like it's their store. So they're like, I know Ollie said that he was happy to do that. Like that was his responsibility to cover that. Same thing with PPF. He said the same thing.
Right.
And that makes sense. And Patreon was shifting that onto the customers instead of the Patreons. And it was not affecting everyone the same way because it was like this 30 some odd cent fee is going to be tacked onto every single time you get charged, which if you've got a $500 Patreon thing that you're doing, what's an extra 30 some odd cents? Mm-hmm. But a ton of people do a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge percentage. Like that's a considerable percentage right there of
no, it
what
really
you're paying
is.
In an increase. And so a bunch of Patreons, like a lot of, they lost a lot of supporters. Like not only did Patreon lose a lot of supporters, but the people whose businesses are run through Patreon lost a ton of people. I know Ollie lost a bunch of people and that makes me so sad.
That's and shitty. Ollie is like on top of the fact that he makes really cool content, is just a really good dude.
Yeah, and it's such a shame. And he wasn't pissed at anyone for leaving.
No,
he was like,
how could you be?
You leave. If this isn't cool for you anymore, then you leave. And he even set up a different account on a different page that had the same pricing structure as the Patreon used to. And
right.
a bunch of content creators were just through the roof at how stupid this idea was and the fact that nobody talked to them about it. It was just like, we're doing this. Have fun figuring this shit out.
Right.
And then everyone's just like, how could you do this without talking to the creators first? And today, Patreon was like, yeah, we fucked up. That was really dumb. We shouldn't have done that. And we're not going forward with that. We still have some issues we need to figure out, but we're going to talk to you guys about it instead of just making up some bullshit on our own. So
it's like Netflix and Quixter. Wasn't that the offshoot that was going to be just DVDs at some point?
Oh my god, something I forgot like all that? About that.
That was a thing for like a day, holy and then they were like, shit. What the fuck were we thinking? We're sorry. Our bad. Our bad, guys.
Wow.
Nothing good, to see.
Good pull. I really forgot that was a thing. Holy crap. So that resolved itself. Neat. When I wrote down the story originally, it hadn't resolved itself yet, but it just happened a few hours ago. So,
well,
yay.
Hopefully the same thing happens with net neutrality.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'd say, like, hey, get on, make phone calls. By the time this episode goes live, the vote will have happened, I believe. So here's hoping the internet doesn't get royally screwed.
I don't know. Nobody might even hear this podcast, Chris.
It's true. It might cost an extra $50 to be able to get this podcast.
Which is well worth
it. It is, because you know that money is going into the pockets of people that really need it and
they
deserve
really
it.
Fuck you.
I hate this planet and everyone on it. And that's our show. Join us next week for December's 10, 2030, featuring games from December 2007, 1997, and 1987. And following that, a week later, we will be doing our coveted Game of the Year awards.
Yes.
Our SAGJGLDs will be returning.
We don't get a game edition.
No, we don't. We're always Game of the Year edition.
Two assholes like this one.
And we're we're having some special guests on the show too. We're having Dean and some other guy from Vest and Friends. I think his name is Glenn, maybe? I don't know.
Who the fuck is Glenn?
I don't even know. And Jordan Hazelwood from Nonstop Comic Shop. So we're going to have a nice, big, fat, full house of people giving out awards for the games that they played this year and why they liked them, including Dan and myself. We'll be there, too. So
the most important awards will come from you and me.
Definitely. Obviously. And that's what we're going to call them so that they are known as the most important awards.
Portal 3. Game of the Year.
Game of the Year 2020. But next week is the 10-20-30, so be excited about that too. I dare you. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at Geekade. Subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content. And follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade KRIS. And Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super duper nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for more fresh original content. Thank you, Tiff.
Tiff's back.
And that's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan, myself, and Tiff's incessant coughing that we really hope goes away soon, because I hope
one
she feels better. One of these days. Keep playing games.